Hi everyone, you're watching M4G Advocacy Media. You're watching the Journey Series video podcast, and it's season 4. We're a few episodes in now. My name is Mark. I'm a brown man with black glasses, black and white beard, red and blue shirt, and we're in our home office.
And I'm Crystal. I'm a white woman with today a black beard and white striped shirt. And I've got red glasses and brown hair and brown eyes.
And in today's episode, we're speaking with Kristen Parker, and she's going to tell us about her journey and all that stuff. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Hi guys. Thank you so much for having me. My
Thank you.
name
Finally,
is
it's been almost 4 months.
Yes.
Wow. So what?
Hi everyone. My name is Kristen Parker. I am a white woman with just past her shoulder length blonde hair, blue eyes, and I am wearing a navy blue elbow length sh shirt. And
So, Kristen, just tell us whatever you're comfortable with sharing as far as your journey goes.
of course, I am 43 years old, and let's see. I'm the type of person that you have to know where I've been. I haven't gotten to where I am today without sharing where I've been. When I was younger, I got involved into drugs, and specifically, my drug of choice was heroin. I made some poor decisions because I was not in the right way of thinking when anyone's under the influence of alcohol and or drugs in an addictive sense. The choices, the poor decisions and choices that I made led to myself becoming incarcerated for a period of over 9.5 years. I knew nothing about that kind of thing besides like Law and Order in the Shawshank Redemption in like the Green Mile. I assumed it would be, taking a tin cup and clanking on the bars and stuff like that. That was the first time and only time in my life that I've ever been in trouble like that. But I had to go there because it was the only way that God got my attention. I used my time while, let me back up, while no one pictures themselves when they're growing up thinking, I'm going to make stupid decisions and mistakes and wind up in a prison institution. I chose to utilize my time wisely by learning all that I could about myself while I was there so that history wouldn't repeat itself and I wouldn't make the same mistakes. I didn't want to be a statistic. I wanted to be a success. When I first got there, I was placed into the kitchen because upon my arrival to a women's prison institution, I had already obtained my associate's degree after I had graduated from high school. Therefore, having an associate's degree and being entering a prison institution, I was deemed I had too much education to go to the local schoolhouse and try to learn anything new. So I was, as previously mentioned, I was placed into the kitchen. In the area where I lived, there were some older women who worked in the Braille program that was on my prison unit in Texas called the Mountain View Unit, which I think has since been renamed the Patrick O'Connell Unit or O'Daniel Unit or something. I asked the ladies across the aisle from me, because it was a dormitory type living situation, what Braille was. Of course, I'd heard about it from, seeing movies and reading books when I was younger about Helen Keller, but I didn't know the ins and outs and exactly what it was. So they were kind enough to explain it to me and said that since I had a little bit of time to do, that maybe the Braille program would be a good fit for me. So I had to have my mother call and call the warden, and I was able to get placed into the Braille program. Upon entering the Braille program, I was selected to be a new participant in the said program with about 15 other women. We were placed into training classes where you learned everything from how to draw, produce graphics in a collage format, which for those not familiar with collage graphics and collage tactile graphics, it's basically making raised graphics by hand by either a blue wheel, gluing string, gluing plastic strips, depending upon what the subject matter is. It might be a Cartesian graph for math, or it might be, a children's social studies book and you're making maps, just whatever the topic was. That's where we started. We also started learning Braille in eBay, which is the older version of Braille, but I was grateful that I was able to come in and learn that. Now, let me tell you, initially, like I'd mentioned in our pre-show interview, I was the only one in my class that couldn't get it. And, as previously mentioned, I would come home and I would cry because I felt stupid and everybody else got it, but I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand the formation of dots 1 through 6 in a Braille cell and how they worked. So I would come home, I would come back to the dorm after work and I would cry. And what? Because I wanted to understand, I wanted to help people. I saw this, I was excited to learn because I felt like I had found a purpose, but I couldn't get it. And it was very frustrating when everybody else got it. And here I was, feeling so substantial, shall we say. And I went home one day and I prayed. And the next day, when I returned to work in the Braille program, I understood every single aspect of Braille. A key had been unlocked where I couldn't understand the alphabet. I knew A through Z. I knew what numbers were. I knew what punctuation was. And the previous day, no matter how hard I studied, it just wasn't clicking. It just wasn't, I couldn't get it. And that is how I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that Braille and tactile graphics are what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. I have now been doing Braille for over 10 years. I came home in 2018. After becoming incarcerated at the age of 29, and I came home when I was 38. I missed out on a lot of my life, but I was able to learn a wonderful trade that allows me to help others. And while I was incarcerated, be able to help others beyond the wall. And that has been the most amazing thing. I learned so much every day because in Braille and about the accessible world, there's always going to be ways that you can always help other people, ways to help make things more accessible for everyone. I am a small business owner, for myself, but I am just a party of one. I work for different agencies as a contractor, and that allows me to work from home. And for that, I am most grateful. Who would have ever thought that some girl that used to be a waitress and work in the food industry on a cash register and whatnot would now be able to do what she loves, her blessing, and work from home. I never saw that one coming.
That's amazing. Sometimes it takes, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful, for everything that I'm able to do today. And I just want to help. I want to help as many people as I can, not because I give two flips about recognition or because about being famous, but because that's where my heart is. And it took me going through everything that I went through. Not that that makes me better or worse than anybody. I don't mean it like that. It took me going through everything that I went through in order to appreciate where I am now.
Right. To be able to have that empathy and appreciation Sometimes it's hard to understand, but sometimes it takes hard lessons in adversity and things like that, like what you explained, or disability or other tragedies, to see our purpose, to see what we're, our humanity. And that can be amazing if you let it be. And if you don't get caught up in the consumerism of it,
Something that else, well, there, I guess two things that struck me. We heard you talk about going into the prison system and them having this bias about you coming in with a certain associate's degree. And therefore, you can't learn new things because you're already smarter than whatever, right? And people have these biases all over the place, whether it's about themselves or about other people, that because you've gotten to a certain level, you can't learn from anyone on a different level. And if some people don't have a certain piece of paper, that makes them more or less worthy of something than somebody else. That doesn't sound right. That should be a thing.
I mean, it was, I'd never encountered anything like that. I'd gone to community college because it was what I could afford. I didn't have any kind of, I wasn't like Uncle Scrooge from DuckTales sliding down the pile of gold. It took me, shoot, I think it took me about almost 10 years to get my associate's degree, but that was only because I was working two jobs and going to school at nighttime 2 days a week, because that's all I could swing. I couldn't couldn't take any more classes and work anymore than I was when I was younger. But it was, I mean, just like you said, it was a total and complete shock that I was ineligible to go to the schoolhouse or the school building and learn anything because I was deemed I had too much education. So that is a total bias, because if you're denying me because of that, who else are you denying? Or who else are you picking and choosing that this person can learn that and this one can learn this? Why not give everybody a chance?
Exactly. And that can go the opposite direction as well. I'm like you. I have my education, went to college, all that stuff, but that education has done very little to help me with helping people and being
Exactly.
kind to people and encouraging people and stuff like that. That's all
Yes.
innately inside you and
Yes.
what you believe, about the universe and God and stuff like that, it can be passed down to you, but I don't it you take what you t have as a child and you grow from that, I'm appreciative of those experiences and that education, but too many people put a value on human lives and their life experiences and how they treat people, and they make the assumption that they don't know anything because they don't have the college education. That's sad.
And a lot of these places, whether it's someplace like prison, or you're going for a job interview or whatever, they look too much at like pieces of paper and aren't really interested in the backstory. Like one person with a piece of paper could have gone through what you went through, working their butt off and doing what they could to get that piece of paper, and another person could have the same piece of paper with totally different circumstances behind it.
Exactly. Well said. Well said. I could not. There's nothing more I could add to that. That's exactly thumbs up.
Thank you. But this, sorry, let's go back to you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. I mean, that is how I know, like I said, that is exactly what my purpose is on Earth. And you can tell, you might meet a lot of people that have like the piece of paper. They might have, certain said job. They might be working in this industry or that industry. But the people that are genuine about it, hopefully, not hopefully, that's not even the right word. The people that are genuine in their desire to help others will be able to see that in them. You can tell pretty much when someone, there's been a lot of people, like I said, I'll use Braille for an example just because I can speak on that from what I've witnessed. There's a lot of people out that are only worried about this. They're only worried about money. They're only worried about, dollar signs, and they will turn out really poor quality work. Me, I'm grateful that I'm able to pay bills. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful that, if my mom needs something, hopefully it's something I can afford to help her with because she's elderly. But I worry more about putting out quality work and helping others. And that is what it's all about, helping others. And that to me is like the biggest blessing of all. And like I said, since I'm a mom, especially, I try to look at everything from a mom standpoint. And when I say that, I mean like I if our son was blind, or if he had any other disability, if he was deaf, I would learn ASL. If he was if he had any other kind of disability, like maybe autism on the spectrum, or any other multitude of things that could be had, I would seek to be not only his advocate, his mom, his biggest cheerleader. But I would do whatever I could to help him, and by helping him, try to help anyone else that I could too. I hope that came across the right way. I was like, huh?
It is, and it's really sad, just to use Braille since that's where you are. It's really sad that other humans that are not only in it for the, like you said, the money, are making it more challenging. And not equitable for people with different disabilities or that are blind to be able to innately take care of their young, innately do what they need to do for the, with their mothering instincts, because they're more worried about being right and that money and things like that. That is really sad, and that's a testament to where we're going as a world. Humanity is going. And that's really sad, because what are we doing? We're making it, we're killing ourselves off, pretty much. Where we don't take care of our people, which is going to affect our children, which is going to affect their children. So inherently, what are we doing?
And that is why, I mean, I don't know if you guys have kids, but speaking of if Gabriel was blind, like I said, or deaf, or had any other ability, I'd want him to grow up and have a family of his own. You know, kind of cycling back to what we had talked about earlier, where a lot of people think that disabled folks shouldn't have children. You know, that's crazy. That's crazy. You know, have as many kids as you want. You know, just because you might have a disability doesn't mean your child does. Or if your child does end up having a disability, you can help them. You know, you can help them because you know what it's like from what you've experienced. And with that being said, the world here lately seems to have only this perfectionism mentality. Like they want everybody to be perfect and stuff like that. And I think that's why a lot of, I think that is why accessibility and inclusiveness are so important to me, because what about those of us that aren't perfect? You know, nobody's perfect. I don't mean it like that by any means. But for those, you know, that are a little bit different, or maybe, you know, might have a learning disability, or, you know, might be blind, might be deaf, might be this. Everybody deserves a chance, and nobody should fall under some crazy, I don't know how to explain it, but hopefully it'll come to me. Some crazy idealistic way of how everybody should be. And, you know, by having certain people, usually in the Braille industry, when people put out crummy work, shall we say, and they're in it for the money, they end up trying to think of what that old quote was about separating the wheat from the chaff, maybe. You know,
Not sure.
it's something along the lines of if people are doing something to help others with the wrong, with an impure heart and the wrong intentions, they will eventually weed themselves out. You know, and the people that are in it for the right reasons and want to seek to help people, hopefully they will grow and prosper. And by growing and prosper, I mean being able to reach others and help as many other people as possible, you know, because they're in it for the right reasons. And from starting out learning Braille where I did, I had a job before I came home with the agency in Garland, and was there for a couple of years and learned. It was a smaller Braille agency, but I learned so many things from so many of the amazing women that worked there, and so much wisdom, you know. And it's now here I am now, and hopefully at 43, I'll be 44, and like, what is it? Oh, 2 months from today is my birthday, so I'll be 44 then. But I mean, hopefully I've got, I'm sorry.
Happy earthly birthday.
Thank you.
We're not
Probably.
so my I'm we're the same age.
High five to us.
I know, right?
I'll probably celebrate it with a good, this makes me feel like I'm Mrs. Doubtfire or something when I'm saying this, but a good cup of tea, you know,
Yeah,
just
no big
like.
deal. Yeah.
Maybe that and a piece of cake with sprinkles, because God knows I love those sprinkles, you know. But hopefully I have so many more years on earth so that that'll allow me to reach even more people to
Hopefully.
help.
Kristen, is there so tell us more about Braille, like for the people that don't know, what have you seen or what can it be improved upon that maybe people who aren't blind or don't have to deal with the issue aren't aware of?
Let's see, what a wonderful couple of questions. How can I, let's see. Okay. So for those people that have heard of Braille, now I get to totally nerd out. Yay. For those people that have might know of Braille, have heard the term Braille, Braille's a, just to sum it up in a nutshell, Braille is a grouping of six dots. It's two vertical columns that are read down from top to bottom. It is dots 1, 2, 3 on the left side column, starting from the top, and dots 4, 5, 6 in the right hand column, starting from the top. A combination of Braille dots is used to create letters, punctuation, and things of that nature. In a way, I kind of think of it as a secret code for blind people, like when you might have made secret codes when you're with friends when you were younger. But it is something that will never become obsolete. How else can I explain it? One of the most amazing things to me is that I want to say that a couple of years ago, I read a statistic that less than 1% of all the printed materials in the world are available in a format for the visually impaired. You know, so if you think about everything, I mean, of course, in the Middle Ages, you know, Louis Braille had not developed Braille, you know, so it's not like the kings and queens in France and England and sorry, I'm thinking of The Last Kingdom that I binge watched not too long ago on Netflix. It's not like they had Braille then, you know, but if you think about all the material that is out there printed right now, whether it's something like a Starbucks menu, as we had discussed earlier, restaurants, to even, I'm pointing towards our kitchen, even like a manual for a microwave or a refrigerator, you know? So it's really mind-boggling to me that less than the statistic I read a few years ago of less than 1% of all printed material in the world is in an accessible format for the visually impaired. And that's crazy to me. We can do so much better, you know, and by we, I mean like the Braille transcribers all over the world, which really and truthfully, you would be surprised. There is not as many people that know how to transcribe Braille and transcribe quality Braille. As of today, being, I'm looking at my little date thingy on the computer, January 23rd of 2024. Woo. There is no translation software that is out currently that translates PDFs, you know, or any other or Word document or anything of that nature into perfect Braille. Therefore, the need for quality Braille transcribers that care about their job and have a passion to help the visually impaired, quality transcribers are greatly needed. There aren't that many of us. Not that there's like maybe enough on one hand, there's more than that. And I'm blessed that a lot of the people that I choose to do work for are of that same mindset and mentality. They only care about helping the visually impaired. Well, and you know, low vision, large print, you know, different things that different levels of visual impairedness, if that's a word. But all the people I do work for have the same mindset as me and the same mentality, you know. And if we had even more people with the same mentality and the same mentality that we all share, like you guys too, think of where how much better off the world would be. Not because we're like totally rad, awesome people, because that's an understood, you know, but just being able to help other people. Make it so that, you know, the book that comes, I'm bringing this up because I just signed our son up for this a few months ago from the Dolly Parton book club library thing. Maybe if you had a child that was visually impaired, you know, their mom could sign them up for it and get the same book like Gabriel just got, The Little Engine That Could, you know, maybe get it in a large print form. Or get it in Braille form. You know, I don't know if she offers anything like, you know, for visually impaired or whatnot, but I was just thinking in regards to that. When I had been incarcerated, we had been working in the Braille facility. When we had downtime, we could transcribe books from the prison library, you know, books that different inmates had donated for others to read and check out, like a regular library, but just in a prison sense. And we were working on making a lot of the books that were available then, transcribing them into Braille in an accessible format. You know, we didn't have, as far as I know, we didn't have any blind women on the unit, but we were doing that just as kind of to make more things accessible. I know that there is a Braille database where people, actually, I think the National Library of Congress, if memory serves me correctly, has books in accessible formats for low vision or fully blind to be folks to be able to check out. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're bringing that up, the physical things of low vision and blind needing, the physical form of, what they need. But also, being that we're, doing this video podcast and, have our website and stuff, we've gone all in and tried to really focus on every single disability and what people might need to be able to read our website and watch our content, stuff like that. But saying that, to go along with what you were saying, only I think the number was 10% of websites are accessible, and most of those other 90% can't read screen readers for blind people, for low vision and blind people, and so the push to try to get the people to recognize that. Not just for every disability, but for them too, is really difficult. And, so on both areas, I don't know, like we talked about previously, it's all about commercialism and get what is popular and what looks good and what's flashy and and that's really driving people away, not bringing it to the website. Or like in the physical sense that you're speaking of, it's strong people making people more lonely and feel more secluded, because they don't have the opportunities available to them online or physically,
It's this sort of mentality or this internal idea that people have, whether they're publishing a book or whether they own a company that, well, it's like the problem with the making a Braille sign for people that may be going to a hospital to give birth to a child. Same idea where a company or a book publisher says, oh, well, or it's not even maybe something consciously they think about it is built in where, oh, we're not going to need to do this because nobody that's blind is ever going to want to read our book or ever going to read because, they just don't think about that or,
No.
right? And that devaluation process then goes to the person who actually has the disability. And they think, oh, well, there are no books out there that accommodate my need. And therefore, their idea that I wouldn't want to read means I'm probably too stupid to read or something like that, or too stupid to learn. And then that becomes starts a whole internal thing that,
And We've talked about this previously too, that the idea was put on people in the older generations that these are things that are not important. These are things that we don't need to focus on. And so it's nobody's fault. It just needs to be taught and re-explained and on a human level and not like pointing fingers. I've brought that up many times before. But you know, and when people can come together and have the conversations about this stuff without doing that, you know, and when they understand why we got where we are, why we are where we are, you know, and then with that information, if they use it for, you know, disregarding what we're talking about, or if they're going to try to, you know, do better with things and make changes, you know, and better the world is going to be very apparent to people, you know.
And it's really I ironic that as business people whose primary objective is to have a business that survives and thrives, you would want your business to be subscribed to or bought or consumed by as many people as possible. And you may Sure, you may have to spend a bit of money to make it accessible to as many people as possible, but that opens up the ability for that many more people to buy your product. And then that it just starts to snowball because then they buy it and they tell other people about it.
That is exact. Oh, sorry.
And it doesn't even have to be all about money. It can just be
No.
about making it available to every human possible, you know, to do better service, be better, you know, have better practices in your business. And it just makes sense business-wise, you know.
Yeah, and that's right, of course, but if people are only at that level where they're only looking out for money, that just makes sense. And if that's all they do and that's the only place they can get to, that's fine. It's better than the current situation, I guess.
Well, one thing that I've noticed lately, excuse me, we had cut the cord like about a year ago. By cutting the cord, I mean like we don't have cable. We do streaming because it's just cheaper. And there's way more kid-friendly content that, as a parent of a young child, you can pick and choose what, not that you sit your child down all day in front of the TV, but a lot of learning content you can choose and have more control over what your child is watching, in that regard. I'm bringing this up to say this. One of the things that I was impressed the most with is we have HBO Max, and I'm not touting, that specific streaming service. I'm just saying this to say that Barbie movie that came out, about Barbie. They have a version. We haven't seen it yet, but they came out with a version of it that is all done with ASL. And the lady went to do the Barbie movie instead of standing there, doing traditional ASL. She was trying to present it in a way to convey how the characters were speaking. So if someone was animated, she might kind of act a different way. And I watched like an hour-long interview about it, and I was very impressed. There's also a couple of bands that have had I'm a big music person. I love music. And a couple of bands that I really like have had ASL people at their concerts, signing, rocking out or whatever, signing the lyrics. And that is so cool, you know, because you can like a band. You might not be able to hear the music to yourself, but I'm sure you hear it in your heart and you hear it in your head, you know, and whatnot. And the fact that they're trying to incorporate ASL now is just an example, you know, shows that maybe people are realizing that it is not a one shoe fits all or one size fits all mentality. And there are other people and just be the out there who may not have all the senses. And that doesn't mean that they should be excluded. That doesn't mean that, you know, if you can't see, you should be excluded, or if you can't have a hard time hearing, hearing loss and or no hearing, you should be excluded, you know, or any of the other disabilities. And so I think it's eventually people will come around, but they just people need to be made more aware that just because someone may have and or suffer from a disability doesn't mean that they're not as important, doesn't mean that they need to be forgotten or put over here in a corner, you know, or something like that. Those people need to be brought right out to the limelight. Sorry, I'm a hand person. Be brought right out to the limelight, right next to the rest of us. And by rest of us, I'm not talking about me in particular. I just mean everybody needs to stand united.
Yeah, right.
Definitely. You know, we talked, I think before we started recording the episode, about me not only having visually, some days having visually, you know, a hard time with my progression, but also being deaf in my left ear. So the times when I can't pick up one thing, I might be able to pick up another with a different sense. And so everybody of every ability is not going to experience things the way you do. And sometimes it's extremely important to have a good experience when you have other people that are communicating it in a way they understand and know. And when you're inclusive in all of those areas, you know, sure, it might seem like it would be an overwhelming task to, but shouldn't the world like make that our priority? That we've made it our priority to be the best we can be, but instead be creative on how we can include people and help people so we can advance society with minds that were not there before.
Right. Like if you're stuck worrying about your own survival, it's very hard to help everyone progress if they're not on the same level playing field, you know? And there's so many things that are.
And I'm not just speaking about disability, any minorities, you know, anybody that's been left out, you know, that means letting them be themselves and experience things in their own way, you know.
And
It's
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say exactly why regress when you can progress.
I'm going back to that example you mentioned before about streaming and serve new services that we have. I think that speaks for a lot of different things Crystal and I have talked about. And you know, like going back, say, like 40, 50 years, and this mentality still exists in some aspect in some places, is we're going to, whether it's NBC or ABC or CBS, we're going to control everything and try and draw you to our thing where we curate everything and tell you what you want to see, right?
And in the process, leaving out a living out communities of people that, you're not our target audience, or they don't think it is. So, but in essence, they're really cutting out a lot of their business.
Exactly.
And there it's sort of, in a sense, it's ego driven. They want to make everyone like them and not and pull in the ratings to whatever they've got going on. And whereas newer stuff like the idea of streaming and I'm dating myself here, but like Napster
Hey,
and
Napster file sharing, yes.
stuff like that, where I mean,
8 hours.
I'm not necessarily condoning anything illegal or anything like that, but when you can empower people or give them the power to make their own decisions instead of saying, we know what's best for you, we'll make your decisions, thank you very much, right? And that leaves people with a bad taste in their mouth. Oh, Gen X.
I remember it used to take, I'm sorry, I've got to reminisce for a second. It used to take like 8 hours to download one song on that 2400 BPS
Yeah.
boom
And you had to tell your parents, no, you can't use
modem.
the phone for 2 hours. I'm downloading this one song.
One song.
Just
Yeah.
one, just one. Oh,
Yeah.
the good old days, you know.
And now it takes like what, 3 minutes to download an album?
Yeah. Or better yet, I mean, if you wait like half an hour, you can probably download an artist catalog.
Right.
They're retired.
Right. That
Yeah.
and that was one of the things that blew me away because I was gone for almost 10 years, is just because I was gone, not that I'm self-centered or self-righteous enough to think that, just because my life was put on pause, so to speak, that everybody else's lives continued. I mean, when I came home, it was my last phone before I was incarcerated was a T-Mobile Sidekick LX with a flip-up screen. And when I came home, it's all, like touchscreen phones. And, instead of going to get the latest CD at the store and waiting in line because, your favorite band CD was coming out that day, now you just go to YouTube or, Spotify or Pandora or something, and it's all their music, like their entire catalog. I'm like, whoa. On demand, and I can put it on repeat. Yes. But it's such a difference now. And with
Yeah.
the advancements in technology, like I had mentioned earlier, they can do better for accessibility and inclusion, whether or not you're disabled, minority, whatever, they can do better. They
Exactly,
just.
exactly what I was saying. We've advanced in so many ways, but it's also cut down on humanity and serving people
Yeah,
and
it's a delicate balancing act because on the one hand, yeah, we have access to get a lot of stuff, but we've lost something from the, having to wait for things and that specialness of maybe standing in line, although it may be annoying at times. Being able to interact with other people, other fans, maybe if you're waiting in line for a CD, and and that moment of having getting to unwrap it and listening to it for the first time, right? Yeah, and getting to share it with people because a million other people didn't have access to it. And so you got to take it to school and talk to people about it.
And you got the CD or album you got had all the lyrics, which that was another thing back in the day, you know, when you got the CD and the artist put, or the album, record, whatever, or even the tape, you know, with the long little liner notes where it had all the lyrics to the song. Because I can't tell you how many times when I was younger, I'd be listening to the radio, or I'd get a CD and it didn't have the lyrics, and I'd be sitting there and I'd be singing with one of my friends, and then I sing something completely different, you know, than what the lyric actually was. And your friend would be like, "Wait, what'd you say?" You know, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'd sing it like this, you know," and they'd be like, "Dude, that's not what it says." I'd be like, "Yeah, it is." They'd be like, "No, it's not." I was like, "Oh,
This is
you know."
really, really cool things that kids today aren't gonna understand. I mean, I'm gonna sound like a grandpa,
I
but
feel the same way.
kids today aren't gonna understand. Like, I remember when I was a kid getting a box of Alf cereal, and they were trying this new marketing gimmick where you could actually pull off a playable record from the front of the cereal box and stick it in your. It was like a cardboard thing, but it had
That's
bumps on
cool.
it so it could play it on the record. It was really neat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That I remember when Cookie Crisp cereal used to actually be little chocolate chip cookies and not these little puffy cookies like they had back in the day. I was like, oh, because with my dad, before my dad passed away when I was 10, but when my mom and dad had gotten divorced, and I would go spend the weekend with my dad, he would get me the Cookie Crisp cereal because he was trying to be the cool parent, you know? And I was like, thank you. And it was like eating a box of McDonald's chocolate chip cookies for breakfast. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I back to where I'm getting real life, and
Yes, sorry.
what may be an ignorant question, but I have to
No.
ask because I honestly don't understand. So you mentioned that there's sort of a shortage of people that can transcribe books into Braille, and I'm not obviously we need more people that can do that work, but we live considering that there's only 1% of materials that are already translated, and we're way behind because books have been out for a long time. Like,
Right.
we have no excuse, and we're living in an age of artificial intelligence, or that's starting to become a thing. Is there any practicality to having that done, and is that even possible where we could have some artificially intelligent system go and do a lot of that work that we're way behind on?
That is a very interesting question, and I feel like I can give an opinion on that, but someone maybe like with the intelligence of like Elon Musk or someone way higher in intelligence in the AI community stuff
Oh,
might be able
don't
to answer
worry.
that.
We feel like that all the time. It's like we know what we're trying to say, but somebody who's a lot more intelligent could probably explain that better.
I know that from my own experience, Braille, a lot of people, let me think of a couple of points I can touch on. Number one, Braille will never become obsolete because people are always going to want to learn how to do things themselves. The screen reader is great, but having a physical hard copy stuff, where, you know, some of the stuff I'm working on right now is an engineering book for an undergrad student. It has a whole bunch of high level math. You know, I'm also doing stuff for a pre-med student for the University of Kansas. That being said, AI could probably eventually produce quality Braille, but who's to say, depending upon how developed the AI software and/or program was, that they might be able to perform all the codes in the manner in which the student needs. Sometimes you might get a student, child or adult, that has specific needs where it might be a combination of different things. And granted, they might develop, like I said, they might develop later on, not any time here lately that I'm aware of, software that might be able to perform that. But it's a lot different having it like on a computer sense than it is having it in a book.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I believe that people, those of us that are Braille transcribers and graphic artists, or one or the other, we kind of personalize it for them. Maybe by personalizing, I don't mean any kind of specialness or we're cool or anything like that. But I know that, you know, we tend to ask a lot of questions about projects and or assignments we are given, because we want to make sure that if the child has a child or adult has a specific need, that we meet it the best that we can in the manner that is applicable to how they need the material produced. And what most people don't realize is that even though there are not a lot of people who do Braille transcription and graphics in an electronic format or a hard copy format collage, there are a lot of prison institutions that produce most of the Braille, more so than you would realize. Like from when I started doing Braille, there were only a couple. Now there's a lot more. So maybe with the influx of inmates, offenders, whatever they term the folks from state to state, because it changes. Like in Texas, we were offenders. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know, but maybe with the influx of new prison Braille programs that are popping up, that will help fulfill the need that the ball was dropped on so long ago. Not saying that every single printed material in the world to get Brailled, but at least it'll be a lot more people working on one common goal together to make things in an accessible format.
Well, this is not something that I expect you to know the answer to, but it would be very interesting if you can ask your contacts about it and let us know. Like, I would be curious to
I'll
know,
write it down.
Like, the question Mark asked about how come AI is not able to take the Braille system and put that, you know, where it can be usable for people? Couldn't that be something that is worked on hand in hand, AI and human, to make it happen?
Yeah. I mean, we don't definitely don't want to use the lose that sense of personal touch, and like you were talking about, that certainly needs to remain a thing. But it's ludicrous to me that okay, you have computers which have some form of intelligence,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you have 3D printers which can take care of the raised type or the Braille, right? Put those together, right? And maybe, yeah, you can put a few other things together. And
yeah, all the things that people are innovative about, you know, making things happen that are excessive and, you know, everybody can access and things like that. Why is this impossible?
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm.
It's
because
it seems more like a lack of desire than a lack of ability.
Why? That seems more like a gaslighting manipulation thing of, you know, well, you're nobody. You know, you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have that. You know, we talked about the education. We talked about looking different, talking different, moving different, you know. So that gives people the feeling that they're more important and your ideas are not. So,
and you mentioned the students who have hired you hired you to help them translate engineering manuals or whatever into Braille. That's something that needs to come from the publisher. I mean, why is it, they're working off, probably working off the assumption that people who are blind are never like going to become engineers.
Ex
And
and that is,
if they do
sorry,
have
that.
the intelligence to become engineers, they're never actually going to be able to do the work because they're blind, right?
And that is something that is such a misconception that people have just about blind people in general. There are blind lawyers on the BANA committee that I'm on, the BANA Ad Hoc Committee on Chemistry, that I helped. I drew the graphics for the updated chemical notation Braille code that's going to be used when BANA, the Braille Authority of North R America, releases the updated version. There's several blind chemists. I mean, there are blind people. I mean, the blind pre-med student I'm doing the work for, the undergrad book for the engineering student. I mean, just because people might not have sight doesn't mean they are any less smart than any other person, you know, and that is something that people need to realize. Just because you're blind, you might be deaf, that doesn't mean that up here you aren't as smart. And most of the time, well, actually, heck, I'll say 99.9% of the time, those folks are so much smarter than the rest of us people. It's amazing.
You talk about that too, like, especially people that have been through any trauma or any disability
Bias
or
or
any tragedy, they have to be creative and come up with creative ways of surviving. So why wouldn't you want someone like that to help you come up with ideas for your business, or for making the world a better place?
I think a lot of people, how do I say what I'm thinking? I think a lot of people don't fully understand folks that suffer from a disability. When I say suffer, it might be born, you know, blind or low hearing, low vision, completely deaf, speech impediment, autistic, whatever multitude of things there are. I think a lot of people are afraid to interact with people, whether or not they might not know how to respond to whatever disability they have, whether they feel intimidated, whether or not they just don't care, whether or not, you know, there's so many biases and things that people have, and they just need to realize they're just people.
Right.
They are just people. And when I say they're just people, I mean they are just people. So what? They were born without eyes. Maybe they don't have ears. Maybe they don't have a tongue. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Just because you're born that way, they are just people. There's no need to be fearful, you know, unless they have a special accommodation that they need because of their disability. Then ask questions, because there are so many people that want to educate others on how to help people with disabilities, because by speaking out, you're educating people and breaking down that wall where someone might be afraid or feel intimidated, or maybe they're afraid about offending, you know, if you ask a question about this because they don't want to upset the person, you know, and it's time for people just to drop all that stuff. And I don't want to say drop it and listen, or drop it and put cotton in your ears, like I was
Right.
told when I was younger, to be quiet by my parents. But I mean,
Yeah, we
or
talked
put,
about that.
yeah.
When people have been told how to feel and act toward disability or anybody with a different difference, and the conformity of you need to fit here, you need to act this way when this happens. And
Exactly.
I think a lot of people have fallen into line with that. And certain people are going to be the ones that break that, or
Exactly. Break the mold.
teach people how to think differently and not to be stuck in that narrative.
Exactly.
And when people are able to figure that out, understand that that's where they were, and it's not their fault that they were just going with what they were taught by the government or big businesses or whatever, help them survive whatever they life. When they understand that, and then understand too that that's not going to be helpful, and we're just going to hurt ourselves going forward, then that's where people are going to make change or not.
Yeah, and also with the understanding that people have told us things or taught us things, whether it's corporations or the government or maybe people in older generations within your own family, they pass that knowledge down and that advice down because they have their own internal thing which caused them to interpret the way the world. We have the world in a certain light, and therefore they're going to tell that to you because, as the best approach, because that's how they've coped with things. Or if it's a corporation or a government, they're maybe directing you in a certain direction because that benefits them or what they're doing.
People always tend to be afraid of things they don't fully understand. And especially if that fear of things you don't understand, regardless of what aspect it is, was passed down from a previous generation, a family member, a loved one, a friend, whatever, that's how they learn. And so that's not how they learn, mean like progressing, but I mean, like, as far as that's how it was passed down to them on how to be. And the main thing that will help the most is breaking down those cookie cutter molds and being more open-minded about inclusion and accessibility and everything else. And you have to start breaking down the walls somewhere. Let's get the hammers, guys. So
I'm
it's,
ready.
yeah, me too. Me too.
It's definitely long overdue. Just have to find the right people that are going to be in it with us and not, trying to defy us and, go against everything, that we see needs to happen.
It's just a matter of finding, just like you said, the right people to listen, because you got to find the people that are receptive and open-minded enough to get them to listen to what you have to say. Because a lot of people, once you start talking about something they may view as uncomfortable, automatically shut off. And so from then on, you can usually see it because they'll be talking, and you might see like an invisible, or you might hear it in their tone. Or see it in their mannerisms where they get, butthurt about something and they're all like our son does when he's told it's time to take a nap. He gets all pouty, pouty lips, And it's time to put all that aside and figure out how we can reach people and how we can make them listen.
Not only are we worried about humanity today, but we're mothers.
Exactly, going
And then
forward.
we have parents too, obviously, that are getting older and gonna need to have things accessible. And
Exactly.
whatever our children are or what they need going forward in their lives in adulthood and growing up, we want, you would think there's so many parents and so many people that would benefit from making a world more accessible. I don't understand why it wasn't already in place.
Because people just didn't, maybe people, not that I speak for the world or have the answers for the past. Pardon me. But I think the main focus in the past was, if someone suffers from a disability, they're blind, low vision, deaf, autistic, whatnot, they just stuck them in special ed, instead of trying to figure out a way to reach the children or the adults, with what they were going through and trying to actively reach out and help them. They just stuck them all in one class together because I guess they kind of classified disabilities as, a group rather than this person's blind, this person's deaf, this person, is mute, this person is this, and now that it is getting later, and by later, I mean like years later from way back away from that kind of mindset, people are starting to realize, that. And it's been a long time coming that, there are different disabilities and they need to be not catered to, is not what I mean, but everybody needs to be, everybody needs to be, maybe
Included.
catered to is the word in whatever their disability is. Braille for blind folks, maybe more large print, closed captions, ASL. Just whatever can help the people. But the only people that know what can help the people will be if the folks with disabilities share, hey, this mindset of teaching didn't work for us. We need this. This would really help us. It's a matter of communication, at least from my humble opinion, not that I speak from an expert
Well,
standpoint or
no,
nothing.
you're exactly right. And I feel like, as people in our generation, that's what we're doing. We're saying that did not work, and look where we are now, and look what this did to us. Not
Exactly.
that we had bad parents, or not that we had bad teachers,
No.
or anything like that. That's what they were taught, Right.
and that's what they thought was okay,
And
but we're here to say no, it didn't work, and look what
exactly.
the world just for the better lack of words is falling apart, and it's going to hell. I'm sorry, but
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, one of the worst things you could have ever done to anybody in the entire world, regardless if you have a disability or not, is when COVID happened and everything was shut down for whatever time it was. Yes, whatever, but people not having, like I said, regardless if you're have a disability, don't have a disability, if you're a minority, whatever age you are, male, woman, any, whatever, that was not healthy. Because with that being, when I say it was not healthy, I mean people not having people interaction of any kind, and that being said, it's kind of the past previous mindset for folks with disabilities was to almost ostracize them, almost put them over here. So going forward, we, with us being the younger generation, the older generation doesn't want to hear a lot of times that their old mindset mentality failed a lot of people. They get so defensive. It's hard to reach them in a way to make them understand, hey man, ostracizing folks with disabilities and not specifically trying to get in tune with what they might need by either asking them because you are afraid or intimidated, or whatnot. All we can do is learn from that. Not ostracize people, kind of get them all together, like, what's up, guys? Head nuggy or something, and just let them know that everybody's loved. And what is it that you need? How can I help you? I don't have all the answers. I'm not pretending to have all the answers, but what is it that I can help you? How? Tell me. People need to not be afraid to ask, how can I help you? And
Exactly.
That is what so many people have moved away from, that person-to-person interaction. You know, because they're either intimidated, fearful of something they don't understand, or closed off, and or choice D, shall we say, don't care because they're only focused on themselves. But by choosing choice D, you're only hurting yourself.
Yeah, and
Yes.
it there's multiple things going on. It sort of creates like a perfect storm, which unfortunately people who have disabilities end up faced with, because all these things came together. Like you have the doctor who is looking out for their own ego and maybe tells mother of a student who is, or a child who is deaf, tells them, because I know best, I'm the doctor, I'm the smartest one in the room, so don't go ahead and teach your child ASL, because the best thing for them is to try and become like other kids, and they should just learn that. So we're gonna advise you not to teach them ASL. So then the mom who legitimately wants the best for a child thinks the doctor knows best, right? Which is kind of like gaslighting in a way. Telling a mom that they don't know what's best for their own child, and then they go and put them in an environment or raise them in a manner which doesn't suit what they need to thrive, and essentially tells them that we don't want to know anything about you being deaf because that's not acceptable. So just we want you to be normal. Right.
What's th what their definition of normal is, you
Right.
know?
And going back to, that's just what people accepted, people with education and people looked up to that. So then they didn't trust their instincts and said, okay, I need to do this for my child because they're the one with the education. So then that child didn't get what they needed because they went along with somebody who didn't have their best interest at heart.
Right.
Exactly.
We're going back to the thing you mentioned about special education. There's going to come a point where a child is stuck when a classroom starts to wonder and gets made fun of by other kids what for being in this special classroom, and it becomes a not good thing, right?
It
Then
becomes
they,
a stereotype.
right,
Yeah.
and they start to question like why are they in this special classroom, like, and something which may have had the intention of helping them and being good for them ends up hurting them and has some serious negative impacts for them going forward.
I mean, agreed, because growing up, you know, and going to public school and stuff like that, any time that there was a disabled student, depending upon if you were elementary, you know, or middle school or high school or whatnot like that, they didn't have specific classes geared towards certain disabilities. You know, they just only had special ed. So it's like they really just kind of had that bias and that prejudice of grouping anyone that had a disability all in the same class, where everybody might have different disabilities or different learning handicaps, shall we say. You know, it's not just a, they kind of treated it like a one size fits all class. And
Yeah.
that's where, just like you said, the kids, you know, were stereotyped as special ed, and it That didn't, you had jerky kids that made fun of them, and stuff like that. And that's no, that can destroy a kid's self-esteem, wanting to learn. They start to believe, they're not as smart as others when that's not the case. And it just does nothing to make learning more accessible. If anything, it kind of just pulls, like if you have a balloon and you pop it, it kind of lets the air out of, whatever well intentions that the teachers had to try to help the kids, because each child may have a different way that they need to be learned or a different way they need to be taught, depending upon their disability, whether it's blind or, ASL or, low vision or something else that might need more hands-on interaction because maybe they work more in a tactual sense where they can touch stuff, just different things. And that was never things that were considered before. It was just like, here you go, we're going to teach all these kids, even though they may learn in different manners, the same way. And that's where the kids got the shaft, the proverbial shaft, shall we say,
Also, if you stick those kids who have disabilities in a separate classroom, it deprives the able or the, I shouldn't say able-bodied, but the
Interaction.
without disabilities, the it takes away from them the compassion or the understanding or the appreciation, whereas it might be better if the teacher said, okay, we're going to welcome this new kid into our class, whether it's Billy or Jenny, and they have this issue. We've all got to help them learn, and this is how we need to do it. And that way, everyone has a chance to, and then when they grow up, they go on to business school or go into higher education or whatever, they have an innate understanding of what it means to include people.
Yeah, I think at that point is an informative time to be able to help kids find innately those things that are already there. They just need help bringing it out and being in touch with humanity and different people with different abilities, and if that's forced away from them or they hide it from them or whatever, then how are they gonna be able to get in touch with those?
You cannot expect kids to, you not expect, you cannot predict how different students or adults will interact or react or act or whatever, around someone that they may not understand. And a lot of younger kids, when they see, children with disabilities or different things that a learning, different way of learning, they don't understand. And ch younger children, especially like Gabriel, will ask questions. He hasn't seen, to my knowledge, many blind folks or deaf folks or whatnot. He's only three, but we teach him to, you need to be kind to everyone. You need to love everyone. You need, and within reason. I mean, like obviously, if someone's trying to hurt you, we teach him the right thing in that regard. You know what I'm saying? But you need to learn. Our son is blessed with a, he's very loving and he's very empathetic and he's very compassionate. He's very kind, and if that's more something that more people would just realize to love, it's not a matter of tolerance. You can have compassion, you can have empathy. It doesn't mean you're a wuss. It doesn't matter if you're a gender of a woman or a man, it doesn't matter, whatever. Have compassion, love, empathy, and kindness, and show that to everybody, regardless. And that's one of the things that we try to instill in our son. And hopefully, he's at that age right now, where he's kind of impressionable. So hopefully, we pass, get that He continues to behave in that manner without being Mr. Fussy Butt about taking a nap and stuff, and Mr. Picky Eater Man. But they need more people like that that aren't as, that have that kind of mindset and mentality towards things they may not fully understand. And that includes people, disabilities, and things like that. You know, have that mindset. If we could get more people to have that mindset, it would change the world. I mean, like John Lennon, when he wrote Imagine, apply it. You know, that would be pretty rad, you know, but me, my 80s lingo, sorry.
I feel like we could have a very, very long episode
Good.
on the things
Okay.
about kindness and yeah, really. And just innately humanity stuff like that. And there's just so many things that we can talk about. But we have another meeting coming up.
Oh, okay. My bad. I'm sitting here babbling too much. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. But yeah, there's actually guests that we've, brought back because they're one of our favorite, or they're it was just loved by so many. And I feel like you're one of those guests.
Well, gosh, I hope so. I love everybody. Hey, guys, group hug,
This has definitely been a great conversation, and we're sure a lot of people will get a lot out of it. Is there anything you want to talk about or promote, Kristen, that you've any product you're working on that you want to grow?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. I mean, my name's Kristen Parker. I am the owner of Lots of Dots LLC.
Okay.
I
You
am the
said
party of one. I'm,
you're
oh.
on the website. Can you talk about that?
I don't have a website. It's just me. I'm an S corp, so it's like I'm a sole proprietor.
I thought I went to a website. I'm sorry. We
Not for
met
me, sorry.
before, like, I don't know, months ago. And I feel like I've met somebody that I went to a website that was also about kind of the same thing. So I'm sorry.
No worries. I have not developed a website yet. I'm an independent contractor slash sole proprietor, so I don't have, you know, an official office or tens of thousands of employees or anything of that fancy pants nature. I'm just your basic braille transcriber and graphics artist that specializes in math, science, and chemistry.
Well, either way, we really appreciate everything you're doing, and
Thank you.
it's amazing, the kind of people, they don't need a website or recognition, to be helpful and help people in the world be better,
If anyone wants to work with you, how can they contact you? Through LinkedIn?
I'm on LinkedIn under Kristen Parker. I can't remember what the specific address is. I can be reached via email. Pardon me, at K as in kangaroo, M as in Mary, E as in egg, T as in Tom, Z as in zebra, and the number 198 at gmail.com.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
No, I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful conversation. And I'll be getting back with you and letting you know when we decide to put this out. It may be pretty soon here.
Oh,
So
cool.
I'll let you know on LinkedIn.
Cool,
Okay.
thank you. I will have my celebratory tea at the ready, you
All
know.
right. Okay. Well, have a good day. Good talk. Have a good
Bye, guys. Thank you
day.
so much for having me. Appreciate you.
Thank you.